The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so were you thinking last week, were you hoping last week that up in Washington, D.C., and to a certain extent in your state legislature or your local school board, were you hoping and praying for and voting for an influx of some people with at least a modicum of wisdom? Was that on your radar screen? That obviously, at this point, it looks like, for the most part, the inmates are running the asylum. And so we want some level-headed people with some wisdom in there. And to a certain extent, that happened last Tuesday, probably not to the extent that most of us did. And then today, the Lord throws you a little bone. And the little bone that he throws you today is the dethroning of one Nancy Pelosi, who gave her speech today that she'll be exiting the leadership of the House of Representatives by force, not by choice. But she's not going to seek re-election, yada, yada, yada. And in my prognostications, I'll tell you what she's going to do next. She will have Joe Biden appoint her the ambassador to Italy. That's what she's going to be doing next. So you're thinking, at least that's a good turn in the right direction, because we're going to take some really stupid people out of Congress, and somebody like Nancy Pelosi, we remove what appears to be a total lack of wisdom. So do you think that's going to work? Do you think the country's going to turn around, or do perhaps we need something a little bit bigger, a little bit better than that? So we've got kind of these two choices. We're looking at, kind of a worldly wisdom, which can be impressive, and it can get you a lot of views. And maybe that's somebody like Jordan Peterson, and then Jordan Peterson crosses over a little bit into what we're going to be talking about as well, which is true wisdom. What is true wisdom? Where does that come from? And, we're Americans, right? We're Westerners, and so oftentimes we operate with what I call the WIFM principle, W-I-F-M, WIFM, what's in it for me? So Dr. Sam Horn, back in the house on Theology Thursday from BJU Seminary. Sam's going to help us walk down another road in the book of James about wisdom. Wisdom from above produces blessings and a harvest here below. And that's my question, Sam, if we're going to buy into this whole godly wisdom from above thing. What's in it for me? How are you?
Good to be with you, Steve. And I actually, this study through James has been sort of life-changing for me. And I've known this book my whole life.
Yeah.
You've been teaching it to a bunch of high schoolers. And just the whole what's in it for me question really drives so much of who I am. And I'm embarrassed to say that, but it's actually true. And so what James does is it pulls back the curtain, forces me to look at that question and ask myself, so if I'm in it for what's in it for me, then am I in it for the right reason?
Yeah.
And that brings me all the way back to wisdom from above. And while we have to live in this kingdom from below, and I was kind of smiling kind of in my mind when you were talking about Nancy Pelosi moving on,
yeah.
I was like, we need to pray for Italy if that's where she's going, you know, but how do you navigate a messed up world?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, just when you think maybe there's a little hope and you got elections coming up and then it doesn't quite go the way you want. It doesn't all go bad, but it doesn't nearly go as good as you wish it had.
Sure.
What do you do as a Christian?
Yeah.
Because you know the impact on that, right? You know the economy and you see all the news. And for me, it's easy to get discouraged.
Oh, yeah.
And James constantly reminds me there is another kingdom, and that kingdom is never shaken.
Yeah, that's right.
And that kingdom has a wisdom that actually works in the little kingdom that I'm a part of. So what's in it for me is wisdom.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And now listen, we're not going to talk about politics unless it pops back up for some good reason. But, you know, one of the things that I pray when I'm praying for those in authority over us is for biblical wisdom. And so if I can get a candidate, I would prefer my candidates, Sam, to be born-again Christians full of the Holy Spirit who have access to wisdom from above. I would prefer that. Now, just because somebody is a Christian doesn't mean they're going to be a good candidate. But at least in that point, I know they have access to it. That's why I would love to see more Christians run for office, whether it be in the local school board there in Greenville, South Carolina, whatever the case may be. I want that. I want people like that in there. But if I can't get that, of course, I want people that are wise from a political perspective. But the ultimate answer for America in terms of culture or politics is that we need more men and women who have access to wisdom from above, because that's really the only thing that's going to solve the problems as big as we have. Which is why this is such an important conversation. And really understanding, do we even know what true wisdom looks like? Because I think a lot of us struggle with that.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where James goes. You know, we have to be wise on the earth and where we live. And I'm thankful to live in a country where I get to cast a vote. And you're right. I don't always have a godly candidate. And even if I do, I've got to be wise politically as I cast my vote. I don't want to just throw my vote away. So there's wisdom that comes, but even in that arena of life, there is a bigger wisdom. And the Bible talks about this, right? In James chapter 3, here's the leading question. Who is wise and understanding? Mm. That's a huge question, right? Where is the wise person and what is the understanding that he brings to the table? And you and I know from reading Proverbs that the wisdom James is talking about is deeply rooted in our relationship to God. In other words, I'm not going to have the kind of wisdom James is talking about if I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can have earthly wisdom.
Yeah.
I can have earthly smarts. I can be politically savvy. I can be economically wise. I can make good business decisions. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to have the kind of wisdom James is talking about if I don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, because he is wisdom from above.
Yeah. When James, hits it plainly, if you lack wisdom, ask. But who is he talking to? Well, of course, he's talking to believers. So there's worldly wisdom, which a lot of people put a lot of value on that. I would say that it would appear that somebody like Elon Musk has a lot of worldly wisdom. But what he doesn't have and doesn't have access to, I don't care how many hundreds of billions he has, because at this point in his life, he still rejects the offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. He doesn't have access to wisdom from above, which is crippling. Okay, that's a massive handicap. So we'll talk through this with the rest of the show. And you were just the captain alliteration today with the seminary viewpoints. So what does true wisdom look like? Well, we're going to unpack this, and it's right there in the book of James. It's pure, it's peaceable, it's prudent, it's compassionate, it's impartial, and it's transparent. I'm spitting all over my microphone because of all the P's. Today,
hey,
with
that
Dr.
was
Sam
our good
Moore.
Friend Bob Maestro.
We'll be
Let's
right
give
back.
A shout out to that dude.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, as it is every week, with our friends at BJU Seminary down in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina, and with his monthly drop-in here to the show, Dr. Sam Horn, as we continue to work our way through the book of James. And I don't know about you, Sam. I mean, growing up, when I would smart off to my dad, he would say, don't be a wise guy. You know, don't be a wise guy. Don't be a smart aleck.
I've said that to my old kids. I think it's a dad thing.
I think it's a dad thing. And then my dad, and I have to be careful how I explain this. My dad would say, hey, Steve, usually after I was being a smart aleck, he'd say, do you know why we don't send donkeys to college? Do you know the punchline to this, Sam?
No, but I'm afraid to ask.
I could do it in the King James, which should be okay with some members of the audience. But I'm going to be – he said, because nobody likes a smart beep.
Yeah.
So that word's in the King James. So you think I should be able to say it, but that was the deal. So, you know, if I'm being a wisecracking person, that's not such a great thing. And then you want to pursue earthly wisdom, so you get an education, but then there's knowledge, but then there's wisdom, which takes time. Now it's kind of the experience meets knowledge. Now you got some earthly wisdom. And then there's wisdom from above, biblical wisdom, godly wisdom, Holy Spirit-driven wisdom. And I think we all need a refresher course. And what does that look like? How do we know that we're being wise from God's perspective versus being wise from a worldly perspective. So in the book of James, where we are visiting with Dr. Horn once again, what true wisdom looks like, and I was having some fun with our buddy Bob's alliteration here. So let's just work through these points. Just as a reminder, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's prudent, it's compassionate, it's impartial, and it's transparent. So we want to realize, kind of like fake money, Sam.
Yeah.
You got to really understand what the real thing is so that when the fake comes along, you can spot it. So when we're getting advice from people, when we're taking advice online or a book or whatever, how do you know you're getting godly wisdom and not worldly wisdom? So let's start with pure, because James talks about that godly wisdom is pure.
So pure in this context is going to tie us back to a word that James used up in verse 13 when he asked that question, who is wise? And then he uses the word understanding. So there, you know, there's a difference between being smart, right? You can be smart economically and all the rest of it, but somebody who understands is able to penetrate and get the big picture. So a wise person, according to James, gets God's big picture. And so how do I get God's big picture? I've got to go to his wisdom, and the word pure there is really unadulterated. I don't want to mix what God has said in his word with other stuff. So like in Psalm 1, remember how the psalmist said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's talking about how people in the culture around us have a way of thinking and they have a way of doing. And we buy into that, right? I buy into traffic laws. I buy into gravity. I buy into banking.
Yeah.
I buy into showing up at work on time. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a value system. So wisdom is a value proposition. And I don't get to mix God's value propositions for life with those of the world. And that's what the idea of pure there is. It's unmixed. Wisdom from above goes to God's word with this attitude. Whatever you say I should value, that's what I'm going to value. However I should think about something, that's how I'm going to think. Versus coming to God's word and saying, well, I want to find out what you say, God, and then I'm going to go check out two or three other things, and then I'm going to make my decision about what works best for me.
Yeah.
So first of all, pure, it's unmixed. And once I get God's value system, one of the things God values is peace. Right? That's the second thing. It's peaceable.
Let me say one thing about pure, and then we'll move on. One of the things that's the challenge here is, even in the Christian world, books, podcasts, preachers, Christian teachers, Christian ministries, when you're assuming because of the source that what you're getting is godly wisdom. But we all know that you're going to find some worldly stuff mixed in there. I know that one thing every Christian has in common, every single one of them, for the last 2,000 years. They all have one very important thing in common, which is flesh. So you got to battle your flesh. And so I know that the only pure, unadulterated teaching I can get is from the Word of God via the Holy Spirit. Then I get a human involved. Now I got to toss in a little bit of that variable, the sin variable, the flesh variable, and all of that. So you have to be careful. You got to make sure, even with Christian sources, don't we need to make sure we're getting pure, unadulterated, godly wisdom, as opposed to a little bit of a blend.
And shaping our thinking by the right thing, right? That's, I think, where we're going.
Yeah.
And so I do need to be discerning. I need to be careful, like you're talking about. But it's also peaceable. And the idea there is that it is reasonable. There's a graciousness to the person who has true wisdom because they have a different objective. They're not trying to win. Like if you and I are in a relationship and I want to win, then you know, I'm going to be hedging my bets. Yeah, the way I talk with you, I'm always going to be. And just think about how people without Jesus do life together. They're always thinking about, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure I come out ahead.
Yeah. And because I did this for you, I did this for you, Sam, you should do this other thing for me. It's very transactional.
It is extremely transactional. And so peaceableness comes out of a recognition that I've got a higher thing I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to win, and I'm not even trying to get a transaction out of you. I want you to meet Jesus. I want your life to enjoy the peace of God. And sometimes I got to go to war to get that.
Sure.
Right? Like I'm looking at a kid and in my family, and this kid's doing some things that I know are going to destroy him. I got to go to war because I love peace.
Yeah.
Right? So sometimes you got to go to war because you love peace.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point is your whole demeanor is marked by the peace that you've received from God, and it brings this graciousness to you.
Yeah, so when you're engaging somebody else, trying to deal with the lack of wisdom, and you're trying to impart wisdom, you're trying to help them be at peace with God and be at peace with his word, and your goal should be peace. And so you don't come into it like, I got to correct you, or I got to win, or I got to put you in your place.
Correct.
I mean, we're supposed to be, and the funny thing about what we're talking about, end of last segment, beginning of this one, is this sounds a lot like the Beatitudes to me.
It is. Remember, James's half-brother was Jesus. And so he's drawing from all of this.
Yeah.
And peace here isn't just the absence of conflict. It's not just peace at any cost. You know, it's not Chamberlain in World War II
right.
going, peace with honor.
Right.
This is basically well-being. Jesus is all about your well-being.
Yeah, amen.
And so that's what drives somebody who's marked by wisdom. And that's why that person becomes, number three, prudent. Wisdom is reasonable. It's prudent. It's wise in how it moves. You know, we're not just gracious and considerate. We're reasonable. We're open to discussion. So we're open to the possibility that we could be wrong. We're open to changing our opinion.
Well, speak for yourself, Sam.
Yeah. That's true.
Maybe you're open.
We're open to the idea that unless there's an unmovable moral principle
right.
at stake, I need to be reasonable.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm going to explore that with a couple of specific examples when we come back. Talking
Perfect.
To Dr. Sam Horn, talking about the wisdom that's from above versus the wisdom that we can get here on earth. How do you know the difference? And why bother figuring it out? This is Theology Thursday with Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary, and putting a links up today on the Facebook live feed to the Viewpoint. This is one of the great things I've really enjoyed and appreciate doing Theology Thursday with my friends at BJU Seminary. And occasionally we'll grab somebody from Bob Jones University, which is on the same campus. But they always have a blog post to accompany what we're talking about, which allows us to dig a little deeper. You can see it for yourself. It's kind of like getting the transcript of your pastor's sermon, which can be very helpful. And so you've got links in here to the passages of scripture that we're using. So these are great. So I'm sharing this on Facebook Live. If you jump in there, you'll find it. And then you can grab it, print it off for yourself. But you can always go to the website seminary.bju.edu/radio. Okay, that'll land you to access everything we talk about here and all the great things in person, online options, all kinds of resources and opportunities to engage with at BJU Seminary. So you can always check the website out, seminary.bju.edu/radio. And that's where you'll see these seminary viewpoints, and I'm sharing the one that we're working from today, which our good friend Dr. Sam Horn wrote. Wisdom from above produces blessings and harvests below. And in my snarky, somewhat disrespectful way at the beginning of the show, I'm like, well, whiff them, man. What's in it for me? What's the point? And so we're unpacking all of that. And in James chapter 3, verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. That should sound a little bit to you like the Beatitudes, because that's it. The pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason. What do you mean by that? Okay, so here we are. I'm reading from the blog post. Tell me if this describes you. I doubt that my kids or most people that know me would say this describes me. Reasonable, when you look at the original language, you unpack this. A reasonable Christian is easy to talk to, open to persuasion, and willing to make accommodations when biblical principle or theological truth is not at stake. And that's why we were searching for that quote. Was it Augustine, Sam?
Yeah, Augustine of Hippo.
Who said in essentials, unity.
In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity.
So oftentimes, I do not find myself fitting that description very well when I'm engaging people in a topic. And in this case, when it comes to Because we looked at being peaceable. Like, are you actually trying to promote peace as you engage with people and try to impart some wisdom? When it comes to things that we disagree with, biblically speaking, not everything for us as Christians is clear black and white. We're going to have some disagreements here and there.
Right.
Whether it's eschatology, you know, I'll ask people, hey, is it a sin to have a glass of wine? Some people will say yes. Other people will say no. Then you got to talk about drunkenness, and then I'll twist the knife a little further, and I'll go, okay, drunkenness, okay. But what about, like, just a little buzz? Like, you're not falling over.
Correct. That's a hard one.
You're fine. And so there's places like that where we're supposed to be prudent and reasonable. But I think a lot of times in today's world, Sam, when you say a Christian should be reasonable, we immediately kind of get into a cultural or political scene, and we're like, no, I'm not going to compromise with the world. So help us understand this. What is this reasonableness in terms of godly wisdom?
So maybe I'll put it this way. The opposite of the kind of person that James is talking about is someone who's harsh, someone who's domineering, someone who's implacable. In other words, I'm going to win at every cost, and it doesn't matter what my objective is, whether it's in a church business meeting or at a political rally. My position is so important to me that I'm willing to destroy you to get there.
Yikes.
That's a person that's not reasonable. That doesn't mean that you can't be reasonable and have really strong convictions about something, including political convictions.
Yeah.
Right? This is not checking your belief system at the door and saying, well, look, I live in the other kingdom. This kingdom doesn't matter. So I'm just going to be peaceable because I don't really care about this kingdom.
Yeah.
That's really not what James is talking about. He's talking about the kind of person who's deeply engaged in the affairs of this life to advance the agenda of the kingdom to come. And if you're going to do that, you're not going to get very far if you're a harsh person.
Right.
I mean, think about the harsh people in your life, and you don't really want to be around those guys. You know, think about a guy who just domineers the conversation. There's no respect. He's constantly using ad hoc arguments. He's whipping up a frenzy around you, and you can't get anywhere.
Yeah,
you can't get a word in edgewise.
Yep.
And so you just throw your hands up and say, yeah, whatever, sure.
Forget it.
You know, have at it. And you can't wait for the conversation to be over because this person is so dominant, and he's got to be right on everything.
Yeah.
And everything, you know, like the virgin birth and his view on what color clothes you should wear to church is at the same level.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there going, how in the world can you even have a reasonable conversation?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I like the word reasonable for this, right? I can talk to somebody who I disagree with strongly and vehemently on politics if I'm reasonable and they're reasonable. I don't get to check reasonableness at the door because I have a strong conviction about something.
Yeah, godly wisdom is not, I'm going to build my castle and dig my moat and put my gate up and just sit here and fire off truth bombs at everybody.
Correct.
Godly wisdom is willing to get into a conversation. And is the only way you're going to get here with being somebody that's, you know, open to a conversation, reasonable, open to persuasion, not going to die on every hill, is pride's going to have to be somewhat under control here. Because when you're super prideful, you're going to have a hard time.
Big kingdom value.
Right, exactly.
Big kingdom value in mind. Which brings us to the other three that are laid out here. It's compassionate. You know, so here I am, and I got, let's put it in a real context. So let's just say I live next to somebody in my neighborhood. Now, this is not true, but let's just, for the sake of our discussion, I find out that my neighbor is an LGBTQ person and they have a partner, a same-sex partner. What am I supposed to do? I got to live in that house, presumably for years, next to my neighbor. Do I just ignore the fact that he lives there?
Right.
You know, do I kind of shoot hate prayers over there? Do I build a wall, you know, this invisible wall?
Yeah,
that
just
I
avoid
don't
ever, them. Yeah.
Or do I have mercy on this person? You know, when his lawn needs cut, do I go cut his grass?
Yeah, do you bring in his garbage cans, whatever?
Yeah, do I, when it's raining, do I bring his garbage can up to, do I invite him over to my house for dinner? Now, when it comes to the whole idea of biblical sexuality, I can't bend on that point.
Sure.
But can I have mercy? Can I be gracious to my neighbor? Can I appreciate the good things that God has graciously in common grace allowed my neighbor to exhibit and experience?
Yeah, this makes me think. I had Dr. Jeff Myers run Summit Ministries. Great. David Noble started at Summit Ministries. Great worldview training. They do these incredible two-week summer camps for students, mostly college students or graduating high school students. And he wrote a book recently, I think I actually have it in here, about truth. And he talks about, like, with that neighbor, instead of being opposing each other on opposite sides of the table, he described it as more, I'm gonna walk alongside you.
Correct.
And I'm gonna journey with you in our search for truth. And even with your LGBTQ neighbor, you know, I'm not gonna open with biblical sexuality.
Correct.
I wanna journey with them, find out how open they are to just discussion. And then as you get to know them and love them well and serve them well and open your home to them in appropriate ways, then you can then sprinkle some salt, sprinkle some things in there and hope that you have a conversation. But I want to walk with them alongside them as opposed to opposing them across the table. And that's what I'm thinking about as you're saying, compassionate, kind of gentle, full of mercy, full of good fruit. I think that's, again, in our approach. And if godly wisdom is going to be delivered that way, it's not a hammer.
Yeah, and I think that's hard for us, right?
Very.
Because we have very defined biblical views, which are right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am convinced the Bible has very defined views about homosexuality and same-sex attraction and even same-sex activity.
Sure.
So I really feel strongly about that. But I have to live next to my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't have a heart of compassion for him, then I really am not an understanding person. Because the God of heaven wants to see that person saved.
Right.
And it could be that I moved into that house, not just because I got a good deal, and not just because it's near my job, and not just because it's a great neighborhood with a pool for my kids and in a great school district. Maybe the God of heaven put me in that house because that neighbor of mine needs to see and experience the love and the mercy and the grace of God. And if I don't have mercy in my heart,
mm-hmm.
what does God say about me? Don't expect to get mercy if you're not going to show mercy.
Exactly. That's right.
And I get convicted by this.
Very.
And it's full of good fruit.
Mm-hmm.
What's the fruit that it's full of? Well, in Galatians chapter 5,
we
have the fruit of the Spirit.
We have another list.
Love. Yeah. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Well, if those things are not flowing out of my life, wisdom from above is somewhere choked off. It's like, you know, you turn on the faucet in your house and no water comes out and you immediately know something.
Yeah, you got a problem in the system, which we need to go find,
correct.
Which I actually have a plumber coming to the house tomorrow. We're talking to Dr. Sam Horn, Theology Thursday, talking about wisdom from above. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, as it is every week with our friends at BJU Seminary and Bob Jones University. And hey, what's up with Theology Thursday, Steve? Why do you do that? Hey, I'm glad you asked. Even if you didn't ask, I'm going to give you an answer. When I originally started doing Theology Thursday, I even had the thought of it. That's when I first started going to classes at a seminary myself and realized, and I'm a pretty good teacher. So, and I'm a pretty dynamic person. So when I'm in teaching adult Sunday school class, and I'm definitely one that can, unfortunately, sometimes I can fly by the seat of my pants and get away with it. And so I was learning, and you can never teach as much as you learn yourself. And so when I was teaching an adult Sunday school class, I was learning a lot. But then I went to the seminary up here in the Raleigh area, Southeastern Baptist, and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm stupid. And so I go to class, and most of these people are half my age. And I was like, oh, my goodness, there's so much here. And literally, unless you have seminary-level professors, as your Sunday school teachers, you can't access that level of teaching at a regular local church. You just can't, okay? They're much more learned. They're much more studied. And so at that point, once I got on the radio in 2007, I'm like, I wonder if I could be a conduit, because the overwhelming majority of us aren't going to go to seminary. You don't have the time. You don't have the desire. That doesn't mean we can't access what God has placed there. So it's like going to the grocery store. I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to go down the theology aisle, and I can go find some really good meals in there. And I was able to do that by God's grace at seminaries. And that's why I've always wanted to do and have done for years now, Theology Thursday. And now with our friends at Bob Jones University and BJU Seminary, to go be the guy with the shopping cart that I go into the seminary, meet people like Sam Horn, and then put them in the cart, drag them here to the radio show for an hour between 4 and 5 p.m. on Thursdays, and put it on your plate. Now, at the same time, I get to eat some of the food off of your plate. I'm a selfish person. So I've had access every Thursday for my radio life for the past 7 years, 8 years. I've had seminary professors teaching me. And I've benefited greatly from that, and I hope you do as well. That's why I do Theology Thursday. To me, I think I would be an idiot to not do it. And so here you go. So welcome back, Sam.
Well, man, I like that story, brother. So using your shopping cart analogy.
Yes, go right ahead.
Here's a piece that really hit me hard. So, you know, we've been talking about wisdom. I've been a pastor. I've got a doctorate in theology. I've got another doctorate in expository preaching. I teach theological classes. And then I meet James. Mm-hmm. And James says, if you have wisdom, there is a fruit that shows up in your life. And the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So here's where James is going with this. If Sam Horn does not have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yikes.
It doesn't matter how much Greek and Hebrew he knows. It doesn't matter how many systematic theology books he's got in his library.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't matter how many papers he's written. If the fruit of the Spirit is not marking my life so that other people sense and experience it, then according to James, I'm not wise. Mm. I may be smart. I may be biblically literate. I may be a guy who's got a study Bible full of notes,
yeah,
highlighted up, but I'm not wise.
Obviously it's very convicting for both of us. And I think about, Sam, some of the godliest men and women that I know that are older. And when you go down the list and you're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, you're like, love? Yep. Joy? Yeah. Peace? Yep. Patience? A ton of it. Kindness? Oh my goodness. Goodness, yes. Faithfulness, yes. Gentleness, yes. Self-control, obviously. The wisest Christians I know have this teddy bear-esque, soft, fluffy, but resilient and strong and kind. They have this unbelievable mix, which is the fruit of the Spirit, that you know that their house is built on the rock. Their
Correct.
Feet are firmly placed on the gospel. They are not giving an inch when it comes to the truth of God's word. But they're remarkably kind and gentle. You're like, it's a cold day, and they're a warm blanket.
Correct.
And you're like, these people are wonderful to be around.
What marks a person, according to James, who has this kind of fruit flowing out of his life? So your kids, my kids will recognize it in us. You know, my wife will recognize it in me, is this. When I am impartial in my judgments and I am sincere in my life. The word impartial there just means I'm not a respecter of persons.
Yeah.
I treat everybody the same. Everybody gets the same compassion. Everybody gets the same mercy. Everybody gets the same respect, whether you are wealthy or poor, honorable or dishonorable, whether you're the pastor of the church or the guy who walked in off the street,
yeah,
everybody gets the same mercy, the same compassion, mm-hmm, the same respect, the same attention.
The Democrat?
The Democrat.
The homosexual?
The homosexual.
The transgender?
The transgender.
The abortionist?
They get the same respect. They don't. That doesn't mean, you know, remember, we've already said we don't back up on the truth.
Uh-uh.
And we don't compromise the truth.
Not an inch.
And there are times where we just have to stop people from doing really dumb, stupid things.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody's going to go get an abortion. I'm going to do everything I can to get in front of that.
Yep.
If I meet a doctor who's doing abortions, I'm probably going to have some pretty strong stuff to say to that guy for his own soul's sake.
That's right.
But somebody's marked by the fruit of the Spirit is impartial, and then he's sincere. The word sincere, there's an old saying, and you know, old sayings are all, that's all they are. But there's a tradition that this simply meant without wax, because in the old days, if you went to the marketplace and you bought a piece of pottery, if there was a crack in it, one of the ways that you would hide the crack is to coat it with wax.
Sure.
So if you were smart, you would hold it up to the light. You could see where that was. And so here's a person whose life isn't perfect, but it's transparent.
Yeah, that's good.
My kids ought to be able to say, and my neighbor ought to be able to say, hey, Sam Horn's not perfect, but that guy is actually sincere. Mm. He's the real deal. He actually lives what he believes at home. So if my neighbor would say to you, look, I know that dude's a preacher, but I hear what goes on in his backyard.
What a fake.
And I hear how he talks to his wife.
Yeah.
And I know what he does. He kicks his dog every day. And, you know, and his yard's a mess. And so I'm not sure I'm going to, you know what I'm saying?
And he acts like he's got all his stuff together and he doesn't.
Correct.
And it's obvious. Okay, let's go back to my original question. We just have a few minutes left. What's in it for me? Let's go back to Wiffum. What's in it for me? Got a couple things here at the end.
So what's in it for me is this. There is blessing. God actually motivates us. And he says, look, if you'll live this way, I'll bless your life. Mm-hmm. And how does the Beatitude start? Blessed is, blessed is, blessed are, blessed are. So it's not like God is this sort of person up there saying, live this way no matter what. He actually is like a father. How often do we look at our kids and we say to our kids, now look, I want to reward your behavior. Mm-hmm. And if we as earthly parents want to do that, how much more Heavenly Father?
Right.
So one of the things that's in it for me appropriately is blessing. The other is harvest. I actually, when I live this way, something actually grows. It grows in me. It grows out of me. And it grows around me. What grows in me and what grows out of me and what grows around me is righteousness. Mm. Right? We sow righteousness in the soil of peace. If I'm beating you up every week and then I come talk to you about righteousness, that soil is barren.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
If I'm cussing you and you know, and just banging on you at work, and going behind you and undermining you to the boss and taking credit for what you do, or if I'm at the political rally throwing a water bottle at you and then the next day I'm trying to win you to Jesus, that's not going to happen. And so what happens, you know, what's in it for me? I get blessing from God and my life counts for righteousness. It actually makes a difference in this kingdom for the big kingdom.
Yeah.
And the biggest example of it in the New Testament is James, the author of this book. You and I are able to have Theology Tuesday because James was all of the things that we just talked about. Yeah. You remember the Jerusalem Council?
Yeah.
And you had this big battle going on between Paul and the Judaizers, and it almost destroyed the early church. Mm-hmm. And one guy stepped up and he said, I want to be wise. I want to be peaceful. I want to be reasonable. And he said, look, let's not put on the Gentiles what we ourselves couldn't even bear.
Right. Wow.
We're going to put the moral stuff that God cares about on them, but we're not going to go beyond that. And by the way, Paul and Barnabas, thank you for going on the journey and risking your life and getting stoned. And the brothers over here that are concerned about that, we'll handle those brothers. You keep going. Mm-hmm. And you and I are here today as Gentiles. Because James stood up and said, we're not putting on the Gentiles the things that drove our people away from God. Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
So that's what's in it for me.
Yeah. And which reminds me of something Paul said, that people blaspheme God because of the way you guys act. You yell about theft, you're thieves. You yell about lust, you're lustful people. People blaspheme the name of God because of the way you guys act. And he was talking to the Jewish leaders. And that's a... I'm going to go back to the fruit of the Spirit on this one. If you're not living out, if people don't see the fruit of the Spirit in you and you think you're wise, you think you're biblically wise, you're not. Either you have the fruit of the Spirit or you don't. Either you're that person that is an exemplar of the kindness and grace of God, or you're not, which is how you measure whether you have biblical wisdom or not. Sam Horn, always great to have you. Thank you for your leadership and your wisdom.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. We'll pray here in just a second. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.